are ordained of God. Whosoever, therefore, resists the authority, resists the ordinance of God. That they resist, they shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Will you then not be afraid of the ruler? Do that which is good, and you shall have the praise of them. For he, the ruler, is a minister of God to thee for good. But if you do that which is evil, then be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon anyone that does evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of the wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause, pay you tribute also. For the rulers are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render, therefore, to everyone what is owed them. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but love, to love one another, for he that loves has fulfilled the whole law. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for good government, a gift of heaven, a gift of God, not something that men have invented or created, but something that you have established upon the earth until the Lord Jesus Christ should return and come again to become the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, we thank you that government is not serving its own purposes, but is for our good, for our benefit, for our protection, to put down the wicked and the evil, those who would harm us, make us insecure, so that we may be preserved in our lives, our liberties, and our properties. We thank you, Lord God, that you have established government to bear the sword, to execute your wrath upon all who are wicked and lawless. We thank you, Lord God, that it is your desire that we render unto Caesar, unto the lawful governments that you have set up, the proper fear, the proper honor, and to render unto them the taxes that are due and the customs that we owe for benefits received. We thank you, Lord God, that as Christians, we are not only citizens of this world, but we are citizens of heaven. But we are not only citizens of heaven, we are also citizens of this world. Until you come back again and remove the throne from this world and take that which is rightfully yours, for now you are the Lord of the church. You are the Lord of our personal lives, our hearts, our souls, even our lives. Therefore, we render our hearts and our souls and our lives and our churches unto you. But unto Caesar, we render the honor, the fear, the taxes, the customs that are due. We thank you, Lord God, that you have made it clear what is our duty to God, what is our duty to man. And we give you the praise and the glory that you have laid everything out according to your wisdom and your power and your majesty and your glory and your grace, that you have established all authority, and there is no authority which you have not established. Anything that pretends to have authority which is not established by you, indeed has no authority at all. For there is no authority except that which you have ordained of God, which you have ordained for us, which you have ordained and instituted and created, even from the foundation of the world, that civil government should be part of the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And so we give you the praise and the glory and the honor in your holy and wondrous name. Amen. God is good. You know, civil government is a confusion to a lot of people because they're not sure if you're a Christian, are you then free? Are you free from allegiance to this world? Are you able, because you're a Christian, you don't have to pay taxes maybe, and you don't have to obey the laws and so on. And although I doubt anyone here believes that, there are those that do. And so Christians often are deceived into being anarchists, that is, lawless ones. But God actually created civil government, and it's one of his greatest gifts. So civil government is something powerful because it's a gift of God. It's not something that man created. Man never created it. Government itself is from God, from heaven. The form of government is ours. But the gift of government, the institution of government, is God's. So, there are some things that you can't change. You could not be ungoverned. You can say, well, I don't want civil government. There are men that live in caves and run around in the woods and so on. There are Aborigines off in the far distance and so on. But there is government regardless of what anyone thinks. And it's God's will that all men live under government and civil government. That is, coming out of a state of nature and living under civil laws that God himself has established. Now, the civil laws can take shape according to the kind of people that design that form of civil government. In nature, every man's his own God. Every man's his own judge, his own legislature, his own executor. So vengeance is ours in the state of nature. But even in the state of nature, God says, no, vengeance is mine. And eventually, as we go from family, individual, family, tribe, and so on, become a people, eventually we become nations. And now the world today is filled with nations, and God has always wanted to have one nation holy. He always wanted to have one holy nation, one people on earth that would exhibit his holy laws. But because men are free to choose and have moral liberty by their consciences to worship as they wish and to set up the government as they wish and to run their lives as they wish, laws are established to make sure that when you use your freedom, you don't become licentious, that is, lawless. It's easy for freedom to overstep its bounds and become no longer freedom, but license. Everyone here is familiar with that. Every little kid that's born into the world knows what that's like to hear the first word, no. When you hear that word, no, that's a limit. That's a limit on a child's liberty. I remember as we raised our kids, that was always a shocking word when they said no. And they went, no. Every little kid is going to test you out to find out what that word no meaneth. What means limit? No, you shall not eat of this tree. Why doesn't God just say, you shall eat? Why does he say, you shall not eat? Government is the not. So the government basically doesn't say, love thy neighbor as thyself. The government says, don't injure thy neighbor. So laws are negative. They're limits on us. And every little child has to learn, sooner or later, to live within the law. Liberty exists inside of law. The minute you step over the fence, you are now licentious, lawless, a tyrant, a despot, an injurious one, one who is causing trespass, one who transgresses, get inside the line. Get back in the fence. There's only liberty inside the fence. So God has set up his wrath to punish and to threaten anyone who moves outside the fence. So whether it's natural law, civil law, political law, whether it's social law, whether it's religious law, God has set up law as one of his greatest gifts to all mankind. So we have sweet land of liberty. The 4th of July will be celebrated, no doubt, by all kinds of people that are convinced that, yay, it's good to be free so we can drink beer. It's good to be free so we can, you know, make a lot of money. It's good to be free so we can have a boating and so on. But actually, the only reason you're set free is so that you can obey the duties that the Lord has assigned. Now, he's assigned two kinds of duties. The one kind is on his right hand. Those are the duties you owe to God. The other kind of duties are his left hand. Those are the duties you owe to your neighbor. So you have duties to God. You have duties to the neighbor. This is your first. The first duty of every man is that you owe to God to give him the due, the honor, the worship that is required to him. But God's desire is not just to force you to worship him, but voluntarily that you want to. Just like any parent. If the child doesn't want to do what you say, you spank them. You discipline them. But what you want is for them to do it voluntarily. So God has given us his law and has said, keep my laws. Don't eat of that tree. Love your neighbor, and so on. Our first duty to God is positive. You are to love your neighbor. But it's often stated, don't injure your neighbor. It's often stated in a negative way. Don't injure your neighbor. But with the spirit of the law, different than the letter of the law, the spirit of the law was always not just to not injure your brother or sister, but actually to love your neighbor as yourself. The spirit was always to go voluntarily because you're like God and you want to spend time with God and be like God. So the first set of commandments are the basis for the second. If I injure my neighbor, I have to injure God first. In order to get to the neighbor, I have to disobey God first. Because God says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. So all government is set up not to make you love the neighbor, which God wants on the right hand, but on the left hand, at least don't injure your neighbor. At least don't do any harm to him until God can get to you. So the idea is that if you come under God and you love God with all your heart and soul and strength, you will end up also loving the neighbor. Whether it's a Christian neighbor, a Jewish neighbor, a religious neighbor, or a non-religious neighbor. It doesn't matter. Because God, for so loved not just the church, not just Israel, but God so loved the world. And because he so loved the world, then he set it up that the world would not be lawless. He set it up that even though in their hearts they might be lawless and be ungodly, he would force them by law at least not to do anything dangerous. In other words, you may not love your neighbor, you may not love God, but don't do anything to hinder him or to injure him or them. Because it's not in your self-interest to hate. If you love the Lord thy God and you hate your neighbor, then you don't love God and you don't know God. To love God is to love his people. To love God is to love what God loves. To love God is to love all mankind. If you hate, then you have missed God, because God is love. So what is civil government? Why did God set it up? I want to read out of the 13th chapter of the book of Romans. I'm going to read it from the Greek because the Greek language is stronger than the English translations. First of all, it says, let every soul, pasa psuche means every single person, Christian and non-Christian, religious and non-religious, whoever you are. Let every soul be subject, be hupotasso, put yourself under, set yourself in array, get inside the fence, don't step over the fence, stay in order. Do it as I say. God being the majestic king, God being our only king, God being the great king, great God, our king. Because God is our king, we don't have a king. So when this country was formed, initially, we followed Israel's pattern where God himself was king. And Israel then was set up under a commonwealth. Commonwealth is where the common wealth is what's at issue. Not the king, not an aristocracy, not even a democracy, because it would be a republic of laws. So the ancient kingdom of Israel was the true pattern for all good government. God set up originally under his people, under Moses. Moses could have been king. At any time, they would have made him king. George Washington had the same temptation. Many wanted George to be George the First of America. And he would have replaced George the Third over in England. Because George the Third turned out to be a tyrant in American eyes. Now, if you were British, you would have thought that George Washington was a rebel, a very naughty boy going over his boundaries, and that God would punish him for it. And so they took out their armies with God at their back and came to destroy the American people who wanted liberty, who wanted freedom. But George the First won, but he didn't want to be George the First. He just wanted to be the father of his country and set up a commonwealth where God was king. No king but Jesus, some of the flags said. Matter of fact, no taxation without representation was the number one slogan of all the placards and slogans. That was the number one. Number two was no king but Jesus. Meaning, we as a people, all being Christian, because they all came basically out of England. They came out of various countries, but primarily it was the English that founded the first colonies. And most of the colonies were English colonies, one way or another. If they were Dutch in the beginning, they soon became English. If they were Swedish, they soon became under English rule. So they said, we don't want to have a king on earth. It's not biblical. We want to have God's original pattern, judges, as at the first. We want our kings to judge according to God's law. We want our laws to be in accord with God's laws. So when we set up our government originally, it was set up by our founders, who are an important people. Where did the founders come from? All political sovereignty on earth is placed in the sovereign people. All political power is not in a king or an aristocracy or some kind of divine right of kings, or in some way that there's an aristocracy of people that are born and bred to rule. No, there's no such thing. According to the Bible, all men are equal. All men are equally born. They're born equal. Now, it's true they have different talents and so on, but the thing that makes you a king is not your talent. It's your virtue. It's your wisdom. So, to be a ruler, whether a husband, a father of a home, a pastor, to be any kind of ruler over civil government, you must have wisdom and you must have virtue. If you have no wisdom, you have no virtue. If you have no virtue, you have no wisdom. They go together. To be virtuous is to seek God's wisdom. You can't have wisdom unless you first seek God, fear God. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, wisdom then is to love my neighbor as God tells me to love him. I don't want to give my neighbor what is due, as I understand it. Because I might think my neighbor took out my eye, I'll take out both his eyes. That sounds good to me. He took out one eye, I'm taking out two of his. But the natural law is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Tex, lex, talionis. So God's law is even better forgive thy neighbor. Don't kill thy neighbor. However, if it's just personal and there's no one else's life involved, I might do that. But what if it's public? What if, in fact, he's going to do harm to me, and if he does harm to me, he might be harming my children or my wife or someone else. Therefore, for that reason, I must defend myself against that injurious person because he might do something, and if I lose my life and he keeps his life, he might injure more, and I, having been lost, then my family would be vulnerable. And I'm necessary for my family's protection and security, therefore I will live and he will die. So every man, even in a state of nature, knows how to defend himself. But you're not allowed to go over the line. You can't take two eyes for one eye. There are those that always want to have two for one. But God is for justice. But God even has a better form of justice, and so through Moses, he introduced a new concept of justice, a higher form of social justice, which said, every man shouldn't rule in his own eyes. Let not everybody just do what he thinks is right in his own eyes. That would be called lawless inside a large family setting, or inside a large tribal setting, or inside a nation. When you become a people or a public, then you must not just take matters in your own hands. How many know that there's times when we want to? Somebody does something to us, and we want to get them. And you're not allowed to if it means maiming them or, you know, causing them injury or harm. You really better check the public law. So men gather together in communities in order to establish laws that protect the good and punish the bad. Simple. So all civil government is meant only to protect the good and punish the bad. We just read that in Romans. Remember, Romans is not written by Caesar. It's written by Paul, an apostle, who's speaking the word of the Lord fully in keeping with the Old Testament teaching. Nothing new under the sun. Civil government has been around from the beginning of time. It's never been that man was meant to be like there are some today called the libertarians who feel like there shouldn't be any laws or very, very few. Well, God has a different idea. There should be laws. Any law that's necessary to stop the bad from going over the line and doing harm to their neighbor. If your life, your liberty, or your property is insecure because of someone else, then the law should stop that person. In a state of nature, I take care of it myself, but in a society, we have public officials that take care of those things. We have judges, we have legislators, and we then have executors, those that execute what the law says and what the judges have judged to be correct. Now, God is the only one who is a lawmaker, and also, he is a ruler, and also he is a judge, for he is the judge of all the earth. Shall the judge of all the earth, Abraham said, do wrong? Shall he not do justice? Is God into wrong? And of course, such a thing cannot be imputed to God. God is always fair. So civil government is part of God's natural left hand, how he rules this world. Now, I wrote two Greek words on his arms up there. The first Greek word is theos, or theos. And that means God in his inner being, God in his heart, God as he really is in himself, God as his hidden nature is revealed or exhibited or manifested or made known to men. But not everybody knows God according to his revelation. Not everybody knows the heart of God. Muslims do not know the heart of God. They're a religion, but they only know God under theos, the one over here, his left hand. Now, the left hand of God is the theos of God, meaning the outward aspect of God, that God is holy, but they think that holy means blowing up a bomb. They think that holy means killing off the enemy. They think that holy means doing harm to your neighbor in the name of God. No, that's not holy. That's theos. You got the holiness right, you just couldn't define it because you don't know his heart. So all religion isn't necessarily good. Even though it's religion and man freely choosing, well, I'm going to love God this way. But it's a moral choice and you will be judged. And God will not only judge you in this world, he will judge you in the next as well. So all religion isn't good or true or right. Some religion is destructive. Now, that doesn't mean they're wrong on the holiness. They were right. God is holy. But they don't know what holiness means. Therefore, what does it mean to say holy if you don't know what holiness means? If blowing up a bus is holy, then there might be an argument about that. Because I don't know if that's benefiting mankind. I don't think that's good for all mankind. I don't think that's justice. And I don't think it's your business to do it. So we have confusion today in the world as to exactly what is the will of God. But God will sort this out religiously later. When he came on the earth the first time, we killed him. And he allowed himself to be killed in order to establish his church, in order to secure your life, liberty, and property, and your eternal life, liberty, and property. Now, the next time he comes back, he won't come back as a lamb, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He won't come back and Caesar and he have a little chat. When he comes back the next time, he will rule and he will reign over all men. And he will make judgment over all men. He will judge all religions and he will judge all civil government. And the kingdoms of this world will be handed over to the kingdoms, to every one of those kingdoms, to his Father. And to say, Father, now I not only have all authority in heaven and earth. When he resurrected, he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I could be king of kings now, but I choose to be king only over my church. I choose to be king and Lord only over the souls of men, the hearts of men, the lives of men, individually, voluntarily. But I could be king right now and rule everything. I'm just not ready. And so Jesus told his bride, you go get ready, clean up, mature, get your dress clean. I don't want one spot or one wrinkle when I come back. And I'll go build the house. And when I build the house for you, I'll come back and clean up the neighborhood. So God is building the house, and he hasn't come back yet to clean up the neighborhood. What would it be like if you built a house in the middle of Harlem, in the middle of a treacherous drug-related deal? What would it be like if you had a church in the middle of a homosexual district or the middle of a drug-dealing district? Well, that's why we're here. It's exactly why we're here. Did you know that? We're here because this is actually a very dangerous place to be. So it's fun, isn't it? It's exciting. Because God said, that's where I want you to build the church, right in the world. Build it in the center of the world, right where the difficulty, trouble, trials are. Now, of course, if your idea was to come and be loved, if your idea was to come and get your flesh built up, you wouldn't want to come to a church that was built in the middle of a difficult situation. But because I know everyone here has come in order to get your flesh killed, it's totally different than getting health and wealth. It's totally different than having, you know, be built up and be loved and everything, you know, for me. No. That's only for the newborns. But for those that want to mature, the whole idea is to have your soul, yourself, you, killed. Isn't that exciting, Joe? Aren't you glad you came to get your soul killed? It'll make you happy. Because if you try to keep your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life, you'll keep it. You see, God didn't birth you in order to have you have a big home and, you know, just have everything go your way. He actually birthed you so he'd get his way. He just always wanted to have a people of his own to say, trust me on this. If I kill you, it'll be for your good. Do y'all see that? Said, that is good news. I'm telling you, that is good news. It could account for the fact that we're not packed out. I don't know if it could account for that or not. Not everybody today wants their flesh killed, but I do. I don't want to have anything of my own. I don't want to own anything. I don't want anything before God. Now, before the world, yes. And civil government takes care of my properties and my life and my liberties and so on. And their whole job is to protect me and secure me, so that I'm not insecure like in a state of nature where I have to defend myself and I might be overcome by a stronger than I. But we have a government that helps the little one, the weaker one, the woman, the children, the orphan. We got that all from the Bible. You see, our government is set up so that the righteous, not the strong, the righteous, not the rich, the righteous, not the powerful, and the high, and the mighty, the righteous shall be free. You are free to worship me. That's why he took Israel out of Egypt. I want you to go out from Egypt. I want you to worship me. I want you to be free to worship me with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and the whole world. Come out from the midst of her, my people. So God is constantly drawing us out. In fact, the whole business of civil government is strictly to bless you. The whole waiting of God right now is just for the bride to make herself ready. And since we're not ready, he can't come back. He won't come back until Israel sings, Baruch Haba B'Shem Adonai. Israel isn't yet singing because we haven't made her jealous, because we hardly know who we are, because we're still feeding our flesh. We're still worried about ourselves, making our own way rather than being servants, rather than being like Christ, rather than being dead to ourselves. You see, God has invited us to take up our cross and follow him, not to use the cross and crush others. But of course, we got that a little mixed up. So the crusader spirit is still among us. The Muslims picked it up. The Muslims learned from the Christians how to use the sword in order to force people. Now, one of my ancestors, Charlemagne, he felt that the thing to do was for me to be a godly king. And to do so, I will take my sword and I will force all the pagans to become Christian. It's very simply, one of my relatives, very, very smart. Very simple. You want to be baptized or die? I was thinking about baptism, actually. Very good choice. So that's the way my ancestors thought. I'm also related to William, the Conqueror of England, another ancestor who felt like the sword was the way to settle things. Civil government has a sword, but it's not to go against the pure, the innocent, the righteous, the free. It's only to go against the wicked, the bad, not for personal ambition. Again, my relative, wrong. But God has established something else in the world, his own kingdom, his own idea. And the whole purpose of the world right now, the secular world, the temporal world, this world, the whole purpose of the world is not to set up the kingdom of God in a nation, but is to set up a kingdom in the nation that will allow us to worship God with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength and our neighbor as ourselves freely. Not just not to injure the neighbor, which is all the civil cares about, but also to love the neighbor, which is why we set up this form of government. So better than Charlemagne, better than William the Conqueror. Nevertheless, God used Charlemagne and William the Conqueror to produce me. So I'm quite pleased with what they did, even though what they did wasn't right. I'm correcting them. Your background, your roots, where you come from, counts. It matters. But my background and roots are in Jesus Christ. I want to be a son of God, not a son of Charlemagne or William the Conqueror. Now, God has established or set up his government then as the greatest blessing in this world. But we are not just in this world. We are not of this world. Jesus had a little contest with Pilate, and Pilate, being the civil ruler, said to him, you know, are you a king? He said, you say I am. You say I am. In other words, you're trying to identify me with you politically, so I'd be a rival to you. And if I were, I would take your throne. But my kingdom is not of this world. Whatever it is, it's not of this world. It has nothing to do with this world. Yours is a secular kingdom. You have no religious duties. I am religious, spiritual, holy. I'm setting up a different kingdom. Now, Pilate had no comprehension of that, but when he examined Jesus, he said, I find no crime in him. He hasn't broken any of the laws of Rome. The Senate of Rome, the people of Rome, are in no way injured by this man's religion. Therefore, I find no crime in him. He washed his hands. And the leaders of his enemies insisted that if Pilate didn't break his own laws and make this man die, because the Jewish people were not allowed to kill. That was something the civil government has. I drew a sword up there. The civil government should have the sword, but not the church. But the church has always wanted to have the sword. Charlemagne, following Constantine, following Nimrod, following all of the tyrants that have ever lived in this world. By the sword you shall conquer. But Jesus said, he who takes the sword will die by the sword. So it's very important that we get rid of our swords, not meaning you can't defend yourself, but meaning that we put the public power in charge so that they can do one thing, punish the bad, secure and protect the good. Now, if the government should become itself a tyrant and punish the good and protect the bad, then you would be in trouble. However, the fault, according to God, does not lie here, but always lies here. In other words, if the state has overstepped its bounds today, know that it's because you're not self-governing. It's because you didn't govern yourself freely under God. Seek first the kingdom, I'll give you everything else. If you have too much government today, which I think most would agree we do, if you have too much government today, it's because you have not enough government under God. In other words, the red has spoiled the purple. It's the red. It's those that name the name of God, who call themselves children of God, who are still immature and not mature because they're still seeking their own. And if you're seeking your own, the government will come heavy upon you because it was never God's will that you only seek your own, particularly at the expense of others. It's called special interest legislation. Our government today is almost 100% special interest legislation. It's all for the benefit of some businessman or some corrupt politician who wants to fill his pockets and so on. Nevertheless, it's your fault. You are the light of the world. You are the one that God intended by governing yourself freely and not complaining about what someone else is doing. You are the one that should have voted. You are the one that should have run for office. You are the one that should have prayed. You are the one that should have loved your neighbor freely. You are the one. Always judgment begins in the house of God. It's never. Jesus will never, ever, ever judge the world first. He judges his church first. Now that he's birthed us, he wants us to go through the wilderness, just as he did Israel. As soon as Israel came out of Egypt, left the world, were regenerated, born again, baptized. As soon as they did that, he took them into the wilderness where they murmured and complained and hated it. And instead of worshiping him for 40 years, they griped. They murmured. They grumbled. That's typical. Now, thank God the church is not like that. We are worse. The church today is arrogant, lifted up, proud, and it has failed in God's commission because it refused to rejoice in the wilderness. It refused to rejoice when God was leading his people perfectly by a perfect way in order to establish his kingdom as a light unto the Gentiles so that the Gentiles could be judged by that light. But Israel failed in her commission as the church has failed in its commission. We are no different. Sad, though we have the New Testament, though we have Jesus, though we have the Holy Spirit, though we have Pastor Jim, though we have all these advantages. Well, throw in that part. Still, we have not matured to the point where we want our death. We like his death. We don't want our death. But until his death becomes the pattern for our death, you will not be able to be fruitful. You cannot love your neighbor if you're still alive. If you're still taking for yourself, if you're not yet a steward of his blessings, but you're an owner who wants to take care of yourself, you are just like the ambitious, tyrannical, despotic world. So God has set up government in order to discipline the world and keep, roughly speaking, the bad guys at bay. Roughly speaking. As rough as we are. If you are the light, then the world will see better. If you are darkness, then the world can barely see. So today, the world can barely see. The church has fallen upon hard times. Nothing new. We have not yet matured to the point where there's no spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That is the goal. that each of us be exactly like Christ, our King, our ruler, God. That we become godly, godlike, not just in image, but also in likeness, so that your character and your conduct is totally in line with God. That's why this government was set up. What I just said, spiritually, is why America was set up by Christians in order to allow Christians to worship God freely and every other man as well, a side benefit. That all religions were free. Jewish people were free. Muslims were free. Everyone was free to worship God, however, within limits. Though you're a Christian, you're not allowed to kill. Though you're a Muslim, you're not allowed to steal. Though you're some religion, you can't break the laws that are the civil laws of the land, which are intended to bless the people and to stop the bad guys, restrain them, and to protect and secure the good. So the only purpose of government is for your good. Every law that's ever been made is for your good. As I raised my children, I gave laws, but they were always for their good. Now, they didn't think they were for their good. You will play in the backyard, and you will not go out into the front yard. Now, I did that. It's like a Jewish fence law, because I didn't want them playing up to the street so that they might transgress and go into the street. So they couldn't even get out of the backyard. Of course, they did, but they didn't make it all the way into the front yard. Therefore, they didn't get to the street. So I raised them under the law, teaching them slowly through my example and my love that the real purpose of my laws was my love, was I wanted to keep you alive, secure, so that you could grow up and be mature, so that you wouldn't have a tricycle. My kids never had tricycles. I shouldn't say that, but I didn't give them tricycles, because with tricycles you have the ideas, this backyard is too small, you know, and you want to go out somewhere else and explore. So they didn't have skateboards either. And my kids were totally deprived. But I had a different vision. I had a different view. I had a different purpose. I wasn't after their happiness. That was my wife. I was after their character. I didn't care that they liked me. I wasn't in a popularity contest. I wanted them to have fear. Margaret, I'm sorry. Did you ever get a tricycle? You're agreeing to the fear part. But there was love in there. There was love in there. All right, I'll get you a skateboard. So the way we raise our children is a government. It's a form of government. Now, you notice up there in the middle is nature. This is the great secret to our republic. It's a secret because few understand that the founding fathers did not build this nation as a Christian nation. This was not, is not, and never could be, never will be a Christian nation. It's impossible. You are a royal priesthood and holy nation, 1 Peter 1:9. And holy nation, the only holy nation is the people of God. Israel's problem was that she wasn't holy, not that she didn't have a land, not that she didn't have a God, not that she didn't have a holy God and a holy law and a holy land. It was the holy people that was the problem. It's the people that God's after, not just the forms, not just the land. So Israel can be in the land but still not holy. Then it's not a holy land. It's only holy because we're living holy. Now, the church was meant to be a holy land, though scattered about throughout the whole world in dispersion, like Israel. We were to be lights to this world and salt. Salt preserving, making this world have something in it that was incorruptible, unfading, undefiled. And yet we have not been such an undefiled, unfading, incorruptible. We have not kept the world alive. A lot of the troubles in the world are due to our lack of witness, our lack of joy, our lack of worship, our lack of love, our lack of showing forth the glory of God, the goodness of God, the majesty of God. Most Christians are still lusting and thirsting for the things of this world. We should be lights. You should be happy all the time. All the time. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Always is a big word. It means like never not. No time to gripe, complain, feel sorry for yourself. Always. Always means rejoice always. Rejoice always. Always have a good report. Always. Always. Always love God with all your heart and all your soul. Always love your neighbor. Well, where's me? Where do I get mine? Well, there isn't any you in there. How many know that if you're submitted totally to God, you don't have any time to take care of yourself? Why would you need to take care of yourself if you have a God? Doesn't God take care of yourself? Isn't God on your side? Isn't the parent taking care of you to such a degree that you don't need to worry about yourself? You can totally be free to love others because you have everything you need. Are you not wealthy beyond measure? Are you not so blessed that there's no nation on earth that compare to all the things we have, but we've blown it. We've used our freedom to become licentious. We've used our freedom to blow it. As I said, many people will do on the 4th of July. Good, we're free. We get to do what we want. Pass the beer. You know, let's take another boat ride. Don't fall out, sweetie, and so on. That is the American dream. That is a nightmare. The whole purpose of America's founding was so that we could follow God. And those who originally founded this nation, although they were humans, although they had their earthly side, they knew that the vision was nobler and higher than just simply me and mine. We are not in a state of nature. We have now become civilized. That is, we are in civil society, which God Himself designed. And though we shape the forms of it, we don't shape it. Because it is always for our good, to protect us and secure us. And always for the enemy who would make us insecure and unprotected and injured, always to stop him. That's the whole point of government force, power, compelling. Now, I want to illustrate what the scriptures that we just read say. That all the laws, whatever laws we have, so I'll make the laws here. This will be a parchment paper. All the laws that we have are simply to be underneath God. Now, this is not Jesus. Our laws are not Jesus' laws, like have communion, like we did today. No, this is for all the people. Every religion, non-religion, it doesn't matter who. Good government is not just for Christians. Good government is for all mankind. It's for everyone to be blessed. And basically it says something like this: don't injure your neighbor. Don't become a tyrant. This is a big no. God doesn't want tyrants to rule. They do, but he doesn't want it. What he wants, big yes, is he wants us to be under his laws. Our laws should be in accord with his natural laws, which are in accord with and not contrary to his spiritual laws. So political laws should be in agreement with natural laws, should be in agreement with spiritual laws. But even if you didn't know about the spiritual laws, at least be in agreement with his natural laws, because the natural laws are in fact always in agreement with his spiritual laws. There's no possibility that God would say one thing to his spiritual people and another thing to his secular people. The whole point of our government is to teach us to live within nature. Nature is, in fact, not the gospel. You can't go to heaven because of nature. But nature will keep you alive, preserve you, until you can get to the Lord, until the Lord has time to get to you, and that's why the time thing is important, is he is now building something, a time for his people to mature so they can get the message out to the rest of the people before they perish. That was Israel's light to the Gentiles. It's also our light, no matter how unbright our light hath been. So God has always wanted us to be a bright light in this world. We have failed. Let us confess openly without apology. Lord, we didn't do it. We didn't do what you wanted. You wanted love to prevail among us. We don't like each other. You wanted joy to be our daily fill and to be worshiping and so on. We actually worship ourselves, and we're actually not happy all the time. Sometimes we like to gripe. Sometimes we like to feel sorry for ourselves, at least for an hour or two a day. My gosh. No, God never wanted that. He didn't want that in Israel, and he doesn't want it today. There's no difference between what his vision was for Israel and what his vision is for us, except in the particulars. In other words, he saw that the old covenant wasn't sufficient, so he gave a new covenant. Now you have no excuse. Even if Israel had failed in her covenant, you should not have failed in yours. You lack nothing. You have not only the Old Testament saints, you not only have the Old Testament laws, you not only have all the promises, you also have the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you now have seen, would die for you, give his life for you so that you could be regenerated. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. You have all the blessings. There is nothing missing. And yet, we are in exactly the same boat the pagans have won. The pagan world is still dominant. We have not overthrown the giants. There's no way that the church could claim today that we've been such a big contributor to civilization. No, you haven't. We have been darkness. Most of the darkness is due to our lack, our failure. But forget how we've impacted the world. We don't even like each other. But forget that. We don't even like ourselves. There's the problem. Unless you love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, you won't love your neighbor as yourself. Now, how many of you are radiantly, I mean joy unspeakable and full of glory, happy all the time? Okay, little hand like that. That's good. That's good. Debbie, are you serious? Wow, you weren't always like that. It's good. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay, we have two. Meg? Three. She's from Dallas, so she didn't come. Barbara, happy all the time. Yeah, and I'm not talking psychologically. I'm talking spiritually, I'm not talking psychologically. Norman, who else? That's powerful, powerful, powerful. Look, that's the goal. That's what God wants. That's the only reason he birthed you. It's not so he could take you to heaven so you would avoid hell. The only reason he birthed you is so you could know him, you could be with him, you could worship him. If you don't want that, why did you get born again? If you don't want to be holy, if you don't want to be like God, go with the other guy. If you think there's life in this world, go for it. If you think by accumulating you can have happiness and joy and peace in this world, do it. I guarantee you there's no life in this world. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He was talking about Zoe. He was talking about L'chaim. He was talking about that kind of life that this world doesn't have or know, because it comes from theos, not theos. It doesn't come from knowing God externally. Even the Muslim knows God. Even the devils know God and believe in him. Did you know that even the demons believe in God? It's nothing. Say, well, I'm a believer. It's nothing. Why were you believing? Believing for what? Believing for your flesh? Believing that you were going to have heaven early? No, no, no. Heaven is spiritual, but then God wants to disciple you and change you so that your behavior matches your morals, matches your faith. It's always been God's will to have us grow, little children, young men, mature fathers. It's always been his desire to have a bride that's pure, spotless. Now, unless that's your goal, you're really not even knowing what the kingdom is all about. If you think that the kingdom is just getting baptized, as Roman Catholics do, for example, that's not it. Being baptized is no longer, you know, sort of, you have bingo in the church instead of out in the world. This is nothing. This is not the idea. Or just that I have faith alone, faith alone, faith alone. Yes, but faith alone, yes, that may regenerate you, but the whole point that you were having faith was so it could be active in love, so that you could mature. I'm afraid the Protestant churches, like the Catholic churches, have shortened the thing. Oh yeah, just get baptized. Oh yeah, just have faith alone. Or maybe the Baptists. You know, well, it has to be personal faith. Okay, personal. Now it's personal. Now we got it all, surely. Then the full gospel businessman. Oh, now we got it all. Now we have the full gospel. Now we speak in tongues and lengthen legs and sing happy songs. No, none of this. This was a betrayal of the vision that God has for his church. And we've watched it in our own lifetime. So whether you're Roman Catholic or whether you're Lutheran or whether you're Baptist or whether you are Methodist or whether you are Pentecostal or whether you're charismatic or whether you're crazy, it isn't what God wanted. What God wanted is for us to grow. Now, you could be Roman Catholic and love Jesus and grow. But it's difficult because of the structures of that church. The theology and the practice of that church prevent, even though there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and even though you got baptized into Christ, it prevents it because the confusion that's in the language, the confusion that's in the forms, allows men to be tyrants. So we have spiritual tyranny inside that church, even though there's many good things in it. The good things don't overcome the bad things. If the good things prevent you from going on because of the bad things that are kept, then the good things aren't good. The whole point of your life was to become like Christ, that in every way you should have joy unspeakable. That's why I asked, how many have joy unspeakable and full of glory? Because in this world you cannot have that unless you've been born again. You repented from this world, said, I don't want anything in this world. I want to live for God. I want to be in His kingdom. I want to be under His rulership, subject to Him. And here's what He says. Okay, if you're subject to me, I want you also to be subject to Caesar. What? I thought I was just going to be subject to you. You are. You're only subject to me. But one of the things I want to tell you is I want you to be subject to Caesar. Whoa, whoa, what? Well, first of all, I want you to fear Him. Second of all, I want you to honor Him. Third of all, I want you to pay taxes. And fourth of all, I want you to pay taxes. That's God. Now, there are four different words. Phobos or phobeo, it means to fear Caesar. Why? Because he's not a person. He's in an office that God has established. And He calls him His minister. Caesar, or any judge, any mayor, any president, any executive, legislative, judicial, anyone who's a Caesar, that is part of the official civil government, a magistrate of some sort, is actually a minister of God. I'm a minister, spiritual. He's also a minister. He's on the left side, I'm on the right side. So, but even though this duty is first, he can't do his duty if I don't do my duty. So he's going to have a dickens of a time. He's got to use that sword a lot. How many know that when you have children that are unruly, you have to discipline them a lot? It would be good if you could be in my family. I love to use the spanking stick. We always wrote wisdom on it, so the kids knew they were getting wisdom. I don't think Margaret remembers that part. We always made them go and get it themselves. You go and get the stick. That was always the fun part for them. You know, it was always in a certain place and so on. But discipline is good for us. How many know that discipline is good for us? The father that loveth his son chastens him. He causes him to go through suffering and trial and trouble. And the children hate it. They don't understand it. I thought this was a wonderful thing to be in this family. Yes, it is. That's why we're disciplining you. We're telling you no. We're restricting you. We're putting all kinds of fences around you. Because laws are a blessing. They keep you from not doing what you would do otherwise until you mature. And once you're 21, once you're mature, once you've arrived at a mature age, you don't need the laws anymore. You don't need your parents watching over you anymore. You're free. Now, hopefully, you'll use your freedom then not to do wrong, to go outside the fence. Oh, good. But to do right. Whatever it is that God told you not to do before, you will still not do in order to now have the spirit of the parent, which was always that you would love, that you would worship, that you would actually be totally, completely, 100% happy all the time. That was always my goal. My goal was never that I would have children that would look good to make me look good. It was always to bless them, but they didn't understand that, as the church doesn't. The church doesn't understand that hard words are actually better than soft words. Everyone wants to always be cuddled and, you know, fed pablum all the time and, you know, constantly remain. But thank God none of you want that. You can say amen. I know you're not Baptist, but you can say it anyway. Yes. Yes. Whatever it takes, Pastor Jim, if I'm in stage two right now and I'm no longer a baby wearing diapers, if I'm in stage two, I want to take responsibility. I want to govern myself under the Holy Spirit. To get to do that, all the sin has to be exposed and all the sin has to be dealt with until it's gone. How many know that's exciting? That is exciting. I mean, to me it is, because Barbara, that's the only thing that will make you happy. Jesus is not going to make you happy. The sin that you still have in you is what's preventing Jesus to get out of you. You don't need Jesus to get bigger. You need your sin to get smaller. Jesus is already in you. You have the image of Christ. I know that. I know you're Christians. I know you want to be a Christian and so on. It doesn't make a difference. Wanting to be the Christian is not Christianity. Being born again is not Christianity. It's not going to come back and say, well believed or well wanted. Gee, you did good in wanting. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. How many know you're not quite there? You're not quite there. We're not yet perfected. We are not yet dead to ourselves and alive to God in Christ Jesus. We aren't there. That's our job, not when Jesus comes back again, but now in this world. He doesn't want us to be in the world and then of it. He wants us to be in the world, but not of it. The world is all for themselves. You are for God, therefore you are for others. Now, that's what we're training you to do, and that's why we're being cut back rather than growing. We're not into church growth. How many know other churches are in the church growth? Why? Because they build on flesh, and they feed flesh, and they cater to flesh, and they have the big screens, and the, you know, all this stuff is just great for the kids, and the bowling alleys, and whatever all they have, swimming pools, and whatnot. And they cater to the flesh. And so, of course, people want to grow and go to such a church that ministers to their flesh. But it's not God's will. Now, I don't feel jealous at all. I pity those churches because sooner or later, the sins in those churches are going to be so immense because they have only fed the flesh. It's soulish. It is not spirit. The Word of God is quick and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, which divides, which cuts between, like bone and marrow, the spirit and the soul. Most Christians that I know and have seen are not spiritual. They're fleshly, that is, carnal, that is, soulish. Paul distinguishes between sarkakoi, very fleshly, and sukakoi, which means soulish, and pneumatikoi, which means spiritual. We were all intended to be grown up. The only reason you were born is so you could grow up. You weren't born to stay baby. You were born to be just like Christ and to minister as he ministered, laying your life down for others so that you're lovers, lovers of God, lovers of your fellow man. That's what America was founded to do. Now, because today the government is corrupted to a great extent, which all the founders prophesied. They all told exactly what would happen and how it would happen, and they said it exactly right. But it's corrupted only because of you and I. The secret was that why aren't the churches bold and powerful to create new kinds of human beings? People that are not just born again, but are disciplined until the sin is no longer ruling in their life. I'm not saying you'll be perfect. All I'm saying is that you at least won't have lust dominating and controlling and reigning over you. At least the anger, you may have anger, but you confess it. You're convicted by the Holy Spirit. Not like so many Christians. I'm the righteousness of Christ. They don't bother me with sins and stuff. I'm the righteous of Christ. Don't make a negative on me. Nobody's making a negative. Don't you want to be perfect? Well, I am already. I don't think so. You mean in your spirit? What about in your soul? What about in your life? What about with the people that are around you? I don't think they think so. You're oppressor. You're tyrannical. You're not exhibiting Jesus at all. Hello? Do you understand? So the churches know exactly how to do it to keep the flesh alive. That was Israel's problem. She always wanted to feed her flesh. Meat, meat, meat. Give us more. You know, what's this manna? Yeah, yeah, yeah. What is this? Well, you see, God knew that the best thing for them was to trust him and not to make so many questions. Not to talk all the time. Most of us talk. There are people in this room, I know who you are. You know who you are. They just talk all the time. Talk, 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 talk. It's nothing. What God wants is the worship, the love, the doing, demonstration, power. That's why the Holy Spirit came. Didn't come so you could lengthen legs and be cheerful. The charismatic movement was completely co-opted by people that took it away from holiness and put it back toward either the faith teaching or the shepherding teaching or whatever else. It's all stuff for license and legalism. Legalistic in the shepherding movement, licentious in the faith movement. Doesn't make any difference. Just pure materialism, pure flesh, pure. It wasn't the right thing. But they're excited about that. They think that's the full gospel. Well, now we have not only salvation, but we got, you know, wealth and health. Well, great. What is it? What is all that? Is that the kingdom of God? Righteousness, joy, and peace. Righteousness is a little different than just, you know, me getting all mine. No, the reason that God set up this government, first of all, he set up the laws. Second of all, he set up the forms, the institutions, all the power structures. And that's what they worked on very hard. The founding fathers worked not only on the laws, which they said, let's copy God's laws. Let's have our laws always copy God's laws, so that the only purpose of the sword is always to stop these guys and protect these guys. This is the land of liberty. All of this shall be liberty land. And the church is over here in liberty land. You can't force the church. You can't have a Christian government. Government is force. It's got this sword right here. And all the officers of the government, whether they be executive, president, whether they be legislative, senators and representatives, whether they be judicial, so on, whether it's state, local, whether it's municipal, whether it's national, doesn't make any difference. All this force, the only reason for government is to bless the people by setting them free, secure them in their liberties, protect them, preserve them in all of their rights, their liberties, and so on and so forth, which God gave them. Government never gave us anything. Government gives us nothing. Government doesn't give you anything. Government's a servant. It's a slave. You are the masters. God put all political sovereignty in the people. He did that through nature. Nobody can give government its power except the people. And anytime the people want to take it back, they're free to take it back. There is no government out there except what you and I make. And we made a government under God for our blessing, for our purposes, for our benefit. We did it as an aggregate people for our individual security, blessing, liberty, so that we could worship God. It's the only reason we made it. It wasn't made by someone else. If a Muslim had made this government, it'd be like Iran or Iraq. It'd be like Saudi Arabia. There, you're not allowed to have a Christian church on, you know, first and third Saudi. You're not allowed to do that because they want to have their own laws and they want to have their own setup. And therefore, that religion stinketh because there's no freedom of religion which God wants. How can God call a man to moral accountability if he had no liberty? What kind of church did you have in Saudi Arabia? We didn't have one. We had mosques. Well, there's no liberty there. But in America, you could have a mosque or a church. You can have a synagogue. You can have anything you want. You can worship a snake, a stick. You can worship yourself. You can have no God at all. You can be an atheist. However, if you do that, there are consequences. But God himself will judge that. God himself will judge that. As long as you don't break the civil laws, no one's going to disturb you in America. But it's not true in the rest of the world. They don't like freedom. They don't want liberty. They don't want men to be responsible morally before God to talk only to God about those things. But every man has a natural and indefeasible right to worship God according to the conscience, according to his inner dictates, to judge himself. That's why this nation was founded. But today we are a nation of sheep. We are a nation of followers. We have raised our children to be followers. That's why they're into drugs, and that's why they're into sex, and that's why they're into all kinds of polluted and perverted things, is because we have raised them to be that way. We have forgotten our calling as a people is to have the churches free. But the churches today are silent. The churches today are fooling around. I'm sorry, I'm having to be prophetic now, but I am. Because what God intended was to have a holy city, a people, a nation, in every little local place who did everything that God said. First of all, our first duty to God. Second of all, our duty to our fellow man. And of course, we are to love the brethren. But you can't just love the brethren and stop. If you love God, you're going to love the brethren, edify the brethren, build up the brethren. But you're also going to reach out to and say, no, are you one of my brothers? I can't love you. No. Your love also goes out to the non-brethren. Goes to all men, even bad guys, even to the homosexuals next door. Everybody. We don't make any distinction. We don't love Christians more than we love the homosexual or the pervert or the bestial group. That's the new group coming. I forget which country it is. I think it's Australia. Now the apes now have all the same rights. Spain? Okay, it doesn't matter whether Spain or Australia. I've heard too many reports. But the point is some country already has apes. Now they can inherit. You can marry them. They can have every right that a human being has. That's bestiality. And that is coming upon the world because homosexuality now is nothing. Now it's going on to a further perversion. This tells me that the time is short. When you have a nation that should be rational, Spain, Australia, whatever, it shows me how stupid man can be. Though he's rational, he can become easily irrational. And it won't amaze me that half of the American people might even think that, well, yeah, that's not a bad idea. That's liberty. It's not liberty. That's license. That's stupidity. You're not just going against God's word. You're going against natural law that God established. And you're certainly violating the text of Judeo-Christian morality ethics. You're totally going against all that God established. Now, will they win? Never. Never. Once God sets something up, he never changes his mind. He never goes back. He's not evolving. He sees everything from the beginning and the end. God has an eternal purposes. Will always have us win right here in Texas. I don't care if the whole world goes to hell in a handbasket. We will follow after the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. A little slow, but we're going to follow. We're going to follow. Because we know the truth, and the truth will set you free, and it'll set the rest of the world free. If they win, we all lose, so they're not going to win. We will win because God's never defeated. God never had an idea or a plan or a will or a pleasure that he didn't fulfill. And he's never allowed the devil to even win one thing. The devil's never taken anything. You may think the devil won this or won that, but he never won anything, and he never will. God always wins. He always leads us in triumph. Everything is set up for your blessing. You're the one that threw it away. You're the one that chose morally not to want that. You can't say, well, inspire me, Pastor. Why should I inspire you? If you're born again and you hear the word of God, you should grow, should repent. It's just that you've been dissuaded by other theologies and lies and false gospels is to think that the whole world just exists for your pleasure. It doesn't. Your death is what's required. Isn't that exciting? Take up your cross and follow me. Now, it's not physical death. It's just soulish death, not letting yourself rule. Isn't that powerful? Aren't you excited about that? That you don't get to make your own decisions? You'll make his decisions. You don't have to have your own desires. You'll have his desires. You don't have your own thoughts. You'll have his thoughts. You don't have your own emotions. For example, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. When do I get to gripe? That's an emotion. Well, you don't just get to do it. It's a no. It's a fence. It's a stop. It's no. That's not allowed. You can never have a bad report. You can never be negative. You can never be downcast. Woohoo! Okay, now, don't be, you know, don't say, well, that's a good teaching, Pastor Jim. No, you have to do it. It's not a matter of thinking it or, oh, I agree with that. No, 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 it's not a matter of agreeing with it because I got all these scriptures or something. You have to do it. You actually have to do it. Let's have a shout. Okay, let's have another shout. Glory! Hallelujah! You see, God wants a people that are excited about his kingdom, his purposes, his will, his pleasure. He's the majesty on high. We have no king but Jesus. But it isn't Jesus right now that's over the government, over the world. Jesus is not yet over the government, over the world, but he could do it anytime he wanted to. He just doesn't want to. He's waiting for his bride to make herself ready. And the churches have failed. We have not done well, but we will, and he will get us there. And if you have to go through all kinds of troubles and problems and lose all the liberties and everything else you've had for you to wake up, so it'll be. As he warned Israel over and over again, first Israel, the northern tribes, then Judah, the southern tribes, as he warned them over and over again, be careful. Look what you're doing. How much longer do you want me to put up with this? I'm doing this for your good. Stop it. The whole blessing of the world depends upon you. Stop. Grow up. I want one nation for myself, and I will have it. So if I have to send you into the nations and sperm you into the world until I perfect you. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to fulfill all the prophets and all the law, everything that God had said, and he did. But now it's not a matter of teachings and talking about it and so on. It's a matter of doing the will of God. But that's going to require you. I can't make you do it. I'm not making you do it. I don't have a sword. I don't have any way to punish you. I don't have any way to do it. I just say words, 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 words. But those words are spirit and life to those that are born again. If you have the image of Christ, you should also have the likeness. Until you are fully mature. Every man mature in Christ. I didn't say that. Paul said that. Jesus said that. Every man mature in Christ. Every man. Every man. Every man. I didn't make that up. How can you get that? Where does that come from? Not just because you had, you know, some kind of miracle in your life or the goiter went away or something. No, 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 no. It's not just, well, I got $100 the other day. Isn't God good? No, it's not that. Now you're still in this world. You're still of this world. Those are wonderful things. They're gifts of God. But you know what? They're sideshow. That's not the main event. The main event is get your heart right with God. Then your soul dead so that there's only Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that you are servants of the living God. We have a harvest to reap out there, but the laborers are few. I know we're all agreeable. Yeah, that's a good idea. Very good gospel message. No, no, no. It's not that. you can't have the Charlemagne approach or Pastor Bob approach. You know, it's got to be the Holy Spirit leading you. They are the sons of God who are led by the sons by the Holy Spirit. Not just to talk about him or like him. No, you have to be led. Speaking in tongues, that's nothing. That's silly. I spoke in tongues. I know I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's nothing. The sign of the Holy Spirit is holy. That means you have the Holy Spirit in you. Not just to work miracles and signs. Even the world wants that. That's why the world's attracted to that kind of thing. All those miracles, by the way, are just for the world. They're not for the church. Why don't we have more miracles? You don't need miracles. Isn't a miracle enough? You have a more sure word of prophecy. It's written in the Word of God. Don't rejoice in this that demons are subject to you, but that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's time to grow up for the church. We're just beginning. Even though we should be at the end already, we're hardly at the, we're just kind of like getting it now. It's just dawning on us. Because the Roman Catholics let us off, the Lutherans then let us off. Everybody started to go in a certain direction, and somehow they petered out. They didn't go all the way. Now you say, Pastor Jim, are you saying you're going to take us all the way? Yes. I'm nothing. I'm just telling you what God is saying. You don't be inspired by great men or powerful looking stuff. You're going to be deceived. It's the old message. There's nothing new here. It's not like in every generation somebody has said what I'm saying. I'm just telling you in mine, I will die for this. I'm just telling you, God's going to have his way. He will have his way. Now, I want you to render unto Caesar everything that belongs to Caesar, but do not render to Caesar anything that belongs to God. Your heart belongs to God. Caesar can't be Pontifex Maximus. He can't have any sacred duties. Caesar's just a secular guy, temporal guy. He's over in a short period of time. His job is done. He's a minister for a short period of time, only for this world. It's over. That's why the church is not of this world. Because it's not for a short period of time. It's eternal. And it's not common. It's holy. And it's not secular. It's spiritual. Everything in the church has to be holy, spiritual, eternal. Nothing in our church can be secular, common, temporal. Nothing. Not even the building. Not the offerings. Nothing. It's all dedicated, handed over to God. We're rendering unto God our lives, our liberties, our freedoms, everything. We give everything to God. Even our political things are in God's hands. They're a gift too. Everything we owe God. Thank you, God, for political freedom, for natural freedom, for all the laws, everything you've done. We thank you for everything because God is in charge and God wants the worship due his name. Are you thankful every day? Do you wake up every day? Thank you, God. And just spend unhurried time thanking him. Not, thanks, God. And I got soup to eat and so on and so forth. No. Stop. Take the time to give your first duty to God. Should have the best time of all. Then enter his gates with thanksgiving. Then into his courts with praise. Waste some more time. Unhurried time. You're not in any hurry. Get up at 5. Get up at 4. I don't care about your busy schedule. Go to bed earlier. Stop watching television. Just pull that thing out of the plug. Throw it away. You don't need it. It's not going to help you get to heaven. Now, I'm not against it. I'm just simply saying, don't make excuses. You've got this duty before God. Do it voluntarily. Lord, I want to get up. That's your spirit speaking. Is your soul going to say that? Oh, goody, we get to get up. No, your soul will never, ever, 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 ever say that. The only thing to do with your soul is kill it. You know, you don't listen to it. Quiet. With your spirit, you dominate, rule over, govern your soul. Quiet. We don't want to hear what you have to say. Well, I feel this way. I don't want to hear what you feel. You'll rejoice. I don't want to. You will rejoice. You know, that's what you do with your soul. You know how to treat yourself? You don't listen to your soul. You don't let the soul rule. That's like a child ruling a family. You and the spirit are the rulers. You have the authority. You have the power. And when you subject yourself to all the authorities, there's no problem because those authorities that you're subjected to are always God. When I'm subjected to Caesar, I'm actually subjected only to God. If Caesar does something on his own, he's no longer Caesar. A king ceases to be a king the moment he becomes a tyrant. You cease to be free the moment you become licentious. You're only free within the law. But the minute you use your freedom to debauch, to go astray, the only reason you're free here in this country, why 4th of July, what it's all about, the only reason you're free is to serve God, get to know God, so you could worship God, so that you can spend all of your time with the Lord. Well, when do I get to do my boat? I don't know about that. There's nothing wrong with your boat, but take a Bible with you when you go on the boat or something. And there are people out there boating. I don't care about that stuff. That's the outward. Now, Leslie Ann, don't get angry. You have to walk in. Well, there you have it. Did I? What was your testimony?
God gave me a message.
Amen.
Now let me think about speaking in tongues.
Okay.
He told me to tell the people to speak in tongues.
Okay.
It was a gift to them that everybody was supposed to.
Okay.
He gave it to all the disciples.
Right.
And they all spoke in tongues.
Okay.
And in different languages, and they didn't understand themselves.
Right.
And his thoughts were not like their thoughts.
Right.
And yesterday I had an incident. Were you looking for car keys? Silly.
No, it's important.
Anyway, I spoke in tongues, and he said, it's where you parked your car. Well, Melissa was looking out in my driveway.
Right.
Somebody called in just a few minutes and said, I found your telephone. It's in a parking lot over on University Drive.
Amen. It's good. Speaking in tongues. Did you hear what I said, though, Leslie? No. What I said is, if you use tongues, listen carefully now. Forget Leslie Ann right now. Listen carefully. You can all speak in tongues. You can all be born again. You can all do all those things. Don't forget why we're doing it. That's not the end. That's not maturity. Of course, those are tools that God has given you, like the government is. Don't worship it. Don't worship the tongue or the healing or whatever. Those things are just natural for children. The purpose of being a child is to grow up to be an adult, to be exactly like Jesus. Don't get the tongue and forget Jesus. Don't get the healing and forget Jesus. Don't confuse the gift with the giver. The whole point of your life is not to get stuff. You don't need stuff. What you need is Jesus. Does anyone have ears to hear? I'm just telling you, the best is yet to come. God has saved the best to the last. That's what's wrong with the charismatic movement. All it knows is tongues, 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 tongues. What's tongues? Nothing. Nothing. That's just a sign. It's not the main event. Of course it's good, only if it serves its purpose. Otherwise, it's evil. If you stop with, okay, we were baptized in water, so what? That's good. Yes, of course, you're no longer a pagan. You got baptized in water. Now you're regenerated. What for? For what purpose? So you could now give your gifts to the Catholic Church and make a gold altar and whatnot? No. It was to save this world. It was to declare through your lives and so on, not to keep countries poor and poverty-stricken and ignorant. So don't argue about all that silly stuff. It's the same thing the Jewish people once did, to argue about genealogies and all that stuff. Of course, that's all good. It's wonderful. Who cares about all of that? What's the point of everything? It's tending in a certain direction. Why was government invented? Only to punish the evil so that the good could worship God. That's why we set this government up. The government only says don't injure. It never says love. But the reason we set that up was don't injure so we would have the opportunity to love. What's wrong with America is that the church never went about its business and finished it. It stopped with religious forms and traditions and nonsense, just man-made stuff. I don't care if they're gifts of God. Those gifts of God are easily abused. Did you ever have a miracle and you go, wow, God, if you do this, I'll never forget you. A few minutes later, you're eating butter and toast. Didn't God just heal you? Yeah, I'm grateful to that too. Oh, wait, could I have the jelly? Thank you. And that's the way we all are. God wants to grow us up so that we don't forget. Do not forget. Do not forget. Keep forever in your mind, constantly before you. Where's your life? You don't need a life. Lose it. Unless you hate father, mother, husband, wife, brother, sister, children, even your own lives, for my sake in the gospel, you cannot be my disciple. You can't do all that stuff. That stuff is all for you. I can hear it when I hear people talking about, well, I did this, and I got this, and I did this, and I... That's the world. The world understands that. Even Jesus rebuked that. And he said, why are you doing all this? Don't you know that the reason is, I don't care if you like it or not, I'm just telling you what God told. God wants you to grow up. It's time to grow up. It's time to not be a child, juvenile any longer. Don't be afraid. Don't be worried about this world and what people think. You're not pleasing anybody anyway. just please God. The best has been saved to the last. We are now at the last. Jesus is about to come. He will not only, first of all, he's going to judge his church, but he'll not only judge his church, he's going to judge the world. And you know what? We're the judges. How can we judge if we ourselves weren't much better than they were? How will they see a contrast? It's like, he's judging me. He owes me $4.17. You know, Christians are so indebted. I can't believe that we're indebted people. Should have no debts. Not only spiritual debts, we shouldn't have material debts. But we live in poverty and debt. We have mortgaged our futures, everything. We are now, what, $46 trillion in debt in this country. I know you haven't heard that number, but it's just because you don't want to know the truth. I'm telling you the truth. $46 trillion official dollars. But you won't hear that because nobody wants you to hear that because you won't vote again for the people that are in office. But that's the truth, is you are totally slaves to that debt. Do you realize every home you own is on that debt? Every freedom you have, everything that you own is on that debt. And you're letting all these representatives of you, your slaves, your servants, run you into debt. They're your masters. They've completely got you enslaved now. You're the one now. You have given up what God gave you. You are the sovereign people. You have become slaves. And now your slaves have become the masters. Well, it's your own fault. Don't blame anybody. Oh, I don't know. We elected that guy. You did not. You didn't even study about the person. You should have found out. Is he dead? You see, the founding fathers believed that the leaders be very mature. They shouldn't just be, you know, people without any property or any interest in the whole thing, or just, you know, voting for their own pocketbooks. But they warned, if they ever figure out that all the money that comes in could be put in their own pockets and figure out how to do it and take away the special interest, taking away the common good, your republic is over. You no longer have a republic. So we're not vigilant. We don't do it in the church. We don't listen to God. We're not going to do it in the state. So this is a very good 4th of July message. I liked it very much. I thought it was very good. I thought it was quite well delivered, too. I'm inspired. I'm listening myself. This is very good. Just keep going. All right, let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you that you have given us such a great gift, the gift of government, civil government. What a blessing to us. Yes, we've abused it. Yes, we've misunderstood it. Yes, we didn't have teaching on it, perhaps. But nevertheless, it's in the Scripture. Nevertheless, we could have read about it. Nevertheless, we could have repented. Let us do so now. Lord, we repent that we've despised so many of the gifts that you have given to us. And we have run away. We just have not been grateful, thankful, full of praise, full of adoration. We have not sought you with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength. Give us kings today after David's heart. Give us men who are committed wholly to justice, to morality, to truth, to righteousness, to putting down sin, not just legalistic sin, but truly sin. I thank you, Lord God, that the best has been saved to the last, and that your church, which is the only light in this world, the only light, all the other enlightenments are dark, all of the other foolishness, it goes so far, but it doesn't go far enough. But your church is even worse. It's even darker than the darkest. Let your church then repent, weep over their sins, until they come to a knowledge of God. I thank you, Lord God, that the best has been saved. You're going to have a holy people.
Yes.
You said you'd make Israel holy. You said that the bride you'd come back for would be without spot. Let it be so. Even as you have promised, let it be so. You created the world, and you finished it. You redeemed us. You finished it. But the work of the Holy Spirit is not yet finished. The Holy Spirit is the one finishing. Holy Spirit, have your way with us. Fall upon us afresh today. Let us not receive this as a negative or a discouragement, but rather as an encouragement to go on, to grow, to realize why we are a country and why we want to hear worthless messages instead of the truth that 'll set us free. I thank you, Lord God, that there are many here today, maybe all, who want to know the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so that we may go on and find you, say someday, well done, good and faithful servants. Lord, we pray for our country, we pray for Israel, we pray for the nations of the world. It's our desire to be a light. It's our desire not to talk a light, but to be a light. Then move upon us, Lord God. Cause us this July 4th to remember why this nation was created, why it exists today, and that it's not over. We're not giving it to the liberals. We're not giving it to the moderates. We're not giving it to even to the conservatives. This country is rendered up to you, the King. America, America, God shed his grace on thee. This is a land of sweet liberty. You are God, our King. I thank you, Lord God. It's not Jesus our King, but God our King. The God who created heaven and earth, created the universe and all the fruits thereof. You are the God that's God over this world. And someday, Jesus the Son will come back and he will take that which has rightfully been prepared for him, even the throne of this earth. And everything will be handed over. Everything will come into your alignment. And Lord God, let us start today. Let us not wait for that great day. Let us begin today in our own hearts, in our own lives, and individually and as families, to celebrate at this time that this gift you have given we do not despise. We remember you on this day. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor. And everyone said, amen. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord lift up his face, look upon you with his pleasure. May the Lord raise up his countenance upon you, regard you, and give you his peace, his shalom, his blessing, his fullness. And we ask this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen. God is good. Love you all. Have a